You sure you wanna be with me? I've nothing to give. Though Lauren say this love is best.
He picked up on the first ring. Not many people had access to this particular phone number. Mouse's house, Mouse speaking. His page looked very dapper. Black hair, short cropped above the ears, which stuck out with trademark roundness. His face broke into a wide, dimpled grin when he recognized me. Deidre, tell me you're back on the link. Hey, home, I laughed. It was an old joke I shared with Mouse's page. I called him home as a play on the fact that he was a super advanced version of a web homepage. If I was back on the link, I said, do you think I'd have to call you for information? You break my heart, Deidre. Mouse's page feigned a hurt look, was almost natural looking, if you didn't know the telltale signs of digital imaging. There was only the slightest electronic halo. Damn, Mouse was one master surfer. If only he wasn't also a master criminal, I sighed. I need intel, Mouse, I said. And here I was thinking you'd finally come to your senses and decided to move to Cairo and live with me in the sun forever. We could rule the world, you and I, Deidre. Tell me you will. I will, I smiled. Soon. Ah, I know you. You might as well say never, McManus. The page frowned. There was a flickering on the screen, and the page gave me a worried look. I have to reroute. Catch a new wave. Something's begging your trail, girlfriend. Stand by. I drank my coffee and waited. The thunderstorm rattled the window, and I found myself daydreaming about the hot African sun and a lithe, sun-brown young man. When I last saw Mouse in real time, he was begging me to spare his life. Not that I had any real power over his fate, as it turned out. The little con artist had weaseled himself diplomatic immunity, and the case Daniel and I had carefully built against him collapsed like a house of cards. Sometime during my pursuit of his case, Mouse decided my attempts to nab him were flirtatious. I did gain a healthy respect of his intellect and skill, but the rest, well, I normally didn't go for his type. Clean cut, barely legal, boyishness was never that much of a turn-on for meat and potato girls like myself. All the same, Mouse managed to grow on me. His relentless admiration was hard to resist. And so, I was pleasantly surprised when it was Mouse himself, not his page, who returned the call.
That was Lyda Morehouse reading from her new book, Archangel Protocol. And Lyda is a writer of science fiction who was good enough to be here with us in the studio today. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Tell listeners a little bit about the soon-to-be-released Archangel Protocol.
Well, first, I should say it's going to be out in spring of 2001 from Rock, which is my publisher. It's an imprint of Penguin Putnam. The book, oh, I hate describing the book, but I'll give it my best shot. The book takes place in a post sort of World War III world, America, actually, which has become, due to technology advances, this particular thing called a Medusa bomb. There's a big influx against that, and so it's become a what I call a religious republic. And so everybody is a part of some recognized religion group or other. And our heroine is an excommunicated Catholic who is hired because there's a presidential candidate who's running for president who is running on the platform that he is in fact the second coming. And in my book, an angel. An actual archangel shows to hire Deidre to save the world. So that's the story.
All right. So when you're putting together these sort of post-apocalyptic futuristic landscapes, there's a lot of detail that you always see in cyberpunk writing, in science fiction. Where do you get that?
Oh, boy. Well, honestly, I got the sort of the kernel of the idea for this from watching television, of all horrible things. I was watching X-Files, another genre show.
Of course.
And they had on it, there was an episode, I think it was like first season, in which Satan shows up as a teacher in a small town. And I kept waiting through the whole thing for the other side to show up, or someone to even acknowledge the other side to say, well, if there's a Satan, Mulder, that must mean there's a God.
Right.
But they never
said
that.
Did.
So I thought, well, why is that? I mean, why is it easy for, especially people in the horror genre, to totally put in Satan, the devil, whatever, and no one ever seems to want to write about the other side. So I thought, okay, well, where's a world in which this will work? And then the ideas just started
coming from there.
So.
Okay. All right. We've been talking with genre fiction writers, so-called genre fiction writers today. Valerie Rose was on. She's a romance writer, and David House, a writer of mysteries, and now you. And what do you think of that classification, that word, that gets put around folks who aren't writing so-called literary fiction?
Well, I have mixed feelings, honestly. I talk to a lot of other writers, and some people have called it, the science fiction genre, the ghetto, because of what happens to it in terms of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, and those people tend to like to call what they write speculative fiction. But for myself, I find that I'm really comfortable in the science fiction, even the sci-fi skin, because it's what I read. It's always been what I read, and when I go to the bookstores, I look for science fiction on the back of the covers or whatever, or pick things up that say science fiction. So I'm okay with it. So I guess but I can understand the problem there.
Well, I think part of it comes from, as David mentioned in his segment, sales for writers of genre fiction are often way leaps and bounds beyond, mainstream literary fiction writers. And yet there's this sort of second-class citizen status or something, or it's not quite as good, or people have that opinion. I mean, that's not my opinion, but it seems like that's floating around out there.
Do you think it's sour grapes?
Yeah, really. If they're selling that many books, it can't be good.
That's
something.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I think there is this sense in our culture that somehow quantity, you can't have quality if a lot of people have read it. Somehow there has to be its secret. Therefore, it's good.
Yeah.
It showed up only in one tiny art house, so I found it. Therefore, it's
must be
better than the average.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
That's my thought.
Locally, what's been your experience with the science fiction reading community?
Oh, the science fiction community locally is astounding.
Yeah.
We have so many great science fiction writers here, and a large, what we call in the biz, fandom that follows them around.
Yep.
So I think it's great. I mean, the reading that I'm doing is sponsored by a group that does science fiction readings. It's what they do, and they do one once a month, and that's amazing, I think, in a town, like ours.
Yeah,
But we're a very literary town, really.
That's true. So it's not all that surprising, although the numbers-wise, we're not huge, so it's great that that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like for you getting the publishing contract?
Oh, my God. I'm still in denial, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a... it's my first book, and so getting the call from my agent, I literally said to him, "You're kidding me."
Yeah. This
this can't be real. And he said, no,
really. Yeah.
He had to convince me that it actually sold the book, so.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. And I wanted to say that I have received, over the last year doing Write on Radio, lots of really nice things from the guests we've had on the show, cards and signed copies of books and all sorts of things, but no one has ever given me an egg filled with jasmine-scented angel snot before, so I wanted to really thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Is that something that has inspired you, and now you're passing along the inspiration?
Yes, I am. That is a great product. It's a very silly thing, and I think it actually fits the theme of my book.
Really?
I talked religiously there for a moment, but I'm actually sort of iconoclastic a lot like that. So.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're going to have the angels, you're going to have the snot. It's sort
exactly
of unavoidable.
Exactly right.
The gift of precious fluids from heaven's messengers.
That's the part that made me laugh.
Yeah. And on the back it says, every time an angel sneezes, an oyster makes a pearl. That's an Andorran proverb. So thank you for this.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
I will never forget it. We've been talking with Lyda Morehouse. She is the author of the novel Archangel Protocol, which will be released in spring of 2001, and she'll be reading next Tuesday at 6:30 at Dreamhaven Books in Minneapolis. Thanks a lot for being here today. And now this.